Wednesday I have surgery for my hip, but something has been bothering me, and this is going to be a true confession time. I really don't know how I do it, but a lot of people seem to leave our Sangha. They all blame me for being abusive and using people and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's beginning to get to me. I really don't know whether I should be continuing to do this. Right now, I feel nothing but incredible love for all of you. I mean, more than my own family. Especially more than the woman I live with. But it's not that I feel self-doubt. But maybe I should leave it up to my students to carry on the tradition. Maybe I should get out of the business. This is probably just a temporary feeling going through me, but it's strong, it's serious. And I'm leaving it to you guys to figure out what is it that you want from spirituality? What is it that you hope to get? What are you looking for? What do you want? Do you feel that there's something missing in you? And you're seeking a missing piece? Or were you more like me? Feeling that I didn't belong in this world, and I was looking for a world where I belonged. A world where I fit in, where I seem to understand things. Because of the world that I left behind a long time ago, I just didn't comprehend it. The world of academia, the world of workaday work, of this crummy civilization. And in the United States, in the last few years, our crumbling privacy and becoming a police state, and everybody seems to, or a lot of people seem to be all right with it. What is it that you want? What is it that you're seeking? Are you seeking love? To be loved or to love? Are you seeking your true self, whatever that is? Have you any idea what that means when people say, are you seeking your true self? Does that mean anything to you? When I was with Muktananda, he used to say all the time, he'd conclude all of the satsangs by saying, love yourself. Honor yourself. But I was wondering then, how can you love yourself when you don't know what the self is? Do you know what the self is in you? Is that one of the things you're looking for? Does that even mean anything to you? Are you looking for enlightenment? What is that? Are you talking about Osho's enlightenment, Nisargadatta's enlightenment, Ramana's enlightenment, Robert's enlightenment, Rupert Spiro's enlightenment, Andrew Cohen's enlightenment, my friend Swami Shankarananda's enlightenment? What does that mean? What do those terms mean? Awakening. Awakening to what? Who awakens? What awakens? How about this term? Perfectly realized master. like Amma is supposed to be. Perfect guru. What does that mean? Does that mean anything to anybody? If you know deeply why you're here, why you're seeking, it becomes so much easier because you know what to do. If you have no idea why you're here, if you're here just for entertainment and hoping upon hope to figure out what you want, then you're kind of lost. And that's why with me, what I put the emphasis on is finding out who you are now. And Facebook and the Neo-Advaitins say, well, who can you be but what you already are? You're being this in the here and now. Just don't do anything. Just be yourself. That's nonsense. That's this deep. Consciousness is this deep. Now, let me put it in the frame here. Consciousness is 1,000 miles deep, and be here now is this deep. It's a shallow hole. You have to go deeply into your consciousness to find out who you really are. But then, at the same time, not forget where you left from, because you're also this body. This apparent body. You're also the energy body that pervades your physical body and extends outwards a few inches or a few feet. If you go a little deeper, you're all those energies that course through your body. The ones that tingle on your skin and run like electricity underneath the skin, or the ones that burn your whole body. And also you're the ecstasy that comes up when you're sitting still and the energies are moving and they start filling you with bliss, and the bliss turns into ecstasy and you don't want to move because it feels perfect and any movement would destroy it. If you go deeper, then you find love, like I feel love for you so much now, all of you. It's amazing. And when you're at that level of yourself, when you can feel that kind of love for another, you can just let it grow. And welcome that feeling inside of yourself. Welcome it. Wonder about how big it can grow. Whether it can grow enough to sweep you away entirely, hold you to its bosom. The embrace of love, where you become love itself. You don't identify with the body or with your mind or thinking, but with the feeling of love, so sweet, so divine. And even deeper is the emptiness. The internal emptiness, I call the inner void, where consciousness pervades and lights up that void with the light, the inner light. The light that sometimes becomes as brilliant as 100 suns or 1,000 suns, but without the heat. The light of consciousness, which is the same light as without, but more pure when your eyes are closed. And within that light, within that empty space within, within the energy body, you can see flowing streams of love, of devotion, of grace. Grace falling from above like golden raindrops accumulating into a river inside of you, descending through yourself, through this individual self, just downwards, pervading the whole body, giving it rest, giving it love. I never cared for Muktananda's teaching. It was all too intellectual and heavy when you got into the books. There are so many different kinds of practices and just too heady. I was used to Zen, which is pretty simple-minded, pretty basic. And then Robert was even more basic. Nothing exists. Nothing is true. All concepts are empty. The mind is a good thing to waste. Get rid of it. Sit in silence. Become stupid. And it's so hard to believe that when your whole life is tied up into trying to figure things out. That all you have to do is become stupid. Let your mind drop. Let your jaw drop. Relax. Give up. Become stupid. The mind drains downwards into the heart. And after a while, you learn to live from the heart, not from the head. You can actually witness this at a certain stage. When you feel love very strongly for another person, it's like energetic tentacles reach out from your heart towards the other person. They're like tentacles of an octopus, but not so ugly. Energetic tentacles that reach out into the world, crust, space, and touch another in their heart. But then you notice that those tentacles are looking around outside in the environment all the time, touching, sensing, being sentient to the world around you. Not only your eyes, but the tentacles, the energy beings from your heart reach out and touch the world gently. Oh, so gently. With love, concern. It's a different way of knowing, a different way of seeing. And then lastly, there is the absolute. That which you cannot see or know, you can only be it. The absolute is outside of consciousness and looks inwards towards consciousness. The absolute is prior to consciousness. It cannot be known in consciousness. You can only become it, which means you're looking deep, deep, deep inside of yourself. You see these various layers. You see the layer of the energy body. You feel it suffusing your physical body. Your physical body, like the energy body, becomes empty. It's filled with emptiness. And the emptiness is lighted. And within that light flows streams of emotions, love, grace, bliss, ecstasy. Below that is the void that contains even these bigger visions. Whoops, I left out love. Love is between all of those visual datas and the great emptiness. Love is what fills the great emptiness. Fills the void with a pulsating life, with sentience. And beyond that is the absolute, which is also what you are. This is what a lot of teachers like Ramana, not like Robert says, is your true self. which is that which is beyond consciousness, which turns around. Instead of looking for itself any further because it knows it can't find itself, you can't, the eye cannot see the eye that is seeing. You can only turn around, relax, fall backward, as Rajiv says, into the inner void behind you. And you become the Absolute. And when you become the Absolute, the world appears in all of its manifestation in front of you. Either as a total oneness, where everything is one, there's no division, no inner and outer, no skin separating your inside from the world. Or else you see the world like we normally do, with separation. It is not us, it is separate from us. But in any event, you see the oneness of the world around you when you are witnessing from the Absolute, which is, if you recognize it, the way we mostly are every day, except we don't realize it. Every day we witness the world, we witness our bodies, we witness all this around us. That means we are in the position of the Absolute in daily life. But what Robert's teaching and Ramana's teaching are is to find all those levels of consciousness in between, so that you really know that you've thoroughly investigated yourself. You accept everything inside of you. You love everything inside of you. And most of all, you can love one another. Like I love Tim and Matthew and Dinesh and Sleeping Beauty in Germany. All of you. All of you. And if you can feel that love for me or anybody else, it will set you free. Now, I had somebody complain, saying, if love is where it's at, instead of Shakti, half of the world would have been enlightened by now. But there's love, and then there's love. I'm talking about love where your heart gets ignited and explodes. All-consuming love. Almost unbearable love. Unbearable desire. Wanting to possess, to own, to be complete, to never leave the side of the other. And may not find that, but the even milder love will get the energies moving in you once you identify with love itself. You see, the energies go where the attention is. And if you love enough, you feel that love inside of you, and you concentrate on that love. You identify with that love. This mobilizes the energies, the Kundalini, the Shakti. It awakens them, or at least it brings them into your consciousness. You become aware of them. I don't know, they're probably already active before you become aware of them, but you become aware of them when you are in love. You can practice Kundalini Yoga. Like breathe in and imagine the Kundalini coming up your spine, going through the top of your head, then holding your breath and letting it radiate. And then in between breaths, just relaxing and letting go of everything. There's 100 different breathing exercises in Kriya Yoga and Kundalini Yoga. you can get a hell of a lot of big flow of energy going that way. It can become very blissful. But it too, just like self-inquiry, pursuing the witness, or pursuing the I am, pursuing the I thought, or those variations on self-inquiry, can become very dry. Bliss can be very dry. Or as Lila's going through now, the energies seem to be just taking things away from her ego structure. Every day she feels more and more free, and it's changing every day because the energies, she calls it Shakti, is taking all of her knowledge away of who she is. Well, that knowledge of who you are also goes away just by doing self-inquiry. The deeper you go beyond mind, beyond consciousness, the less you know. When you become stupid like a rock, things fall away too. When you fall desperately in love, that too can take everything away from you, including yourself. You give it to the other. It's just, for me, love is the way. I tried self-inquiry. I got into those various states, the oneness states, no self states, got into the absolute, recognized that consciousness was separate from me and barely touched me. But the third awakening, being totally in love and having then the Shakti awaken then as a consequence of love, for me is the way. It's the way of Christ. It's the way of Christianity. It's not boring like self-inquiry, except self-inquiry done with love is very effective. Following the feeling of I am, and then loving that feeling. Look into yourself, into your insides. Find the I am. Find the I am sensation. Usually it's first spotted as an energy movement around the heart. Sometimes it feels like a pulsating presence there. And just gently touch it with your hands of your mind. Hold it, love it, worship it. And then slowly, slowly, the darkness gives way to light. The energies begin flowing, bliss flows. And then love. Concentrate on the love. Because what you concentrate on is where the energy goes. Now, some people say that what I say is very convoluted and sort of backwards, that other things come first. Well, maybe for them and what they did, but I don't know. For me, it's the love has worked. Also, self-inquiry work too. Following the I am works. I teach what I know. Anyway, things will look good if we can have an ashram within a year, let's say, in Los Angeles, with Rajiv and Dia, myself, and all of you who want to be here. Come and visit and have retreats. I got an inquiry recently about setting up a retreat in the UK, either Scotland or England. We'll see. People that can go overseas and teach a few classes, and those in Australia may want to put me up for a few days, and I'll give them hell. Are there any questions?